You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Invite your attention to a passage of scripture you'll find in the Gospel according to Luke. There in the 12th chapter.
All right.
And beginning at verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The message is entitled Interrupted Agenda. An interrupted agenda. As you probably know what an agenda is, an agenda is a program, a calendar. A calendar of events, a docket, a schedule of things that one plans to do, the timetable. Even many of us have what's called a bucket list. And the bucket list are those things that we want to do before we kick the bucket or before we die. Amen. I used to have a lot of things that I've crossed off my bucket list, not because I have done these things. It's just that as I grow older, I get a little wiser.
Amen.
On my bucket list was I was going to go bungee jumping. I crossed that off my list. I was going to jump out of an airplane with a parachute. I have crossed that off my list. Amen. There are a lot of things I was going to do that wisdom tells you, you better not try to do that anymore. Amen. So I've crossed a lot of things. As a matter of fact, the only thing left on my bucket list is learn to eat with chopsticks. Amen. And learn to play chess. Those are the only two things I need to do before I kick the bucket. Amen. But I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I'm wise enough to know that I've got more yesterdays than I have tomorrow. The idea, or I should say, the purpose of this message is to let you know that God has the right to interrupt your agenda. God is sovereign, God is holy, and God has set our boundaries, and God has set our days. The Bible says there, as they were coming together, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. So evidently the father had passed away, and there were these two brothers and they were getting inheritance. And according to the Jewish law, the oldest was to get a double portion compared to the youngest. Now we don't know which one came to him, but he wanted to even share. Amen. Even against the law, but he come to Jesus, but Jesus would have nothing to do with that. He said, who made me a judge over a divider over you? Take that to the magistrates. I've come to preach the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel of Jesus. He said, I come for that purpose, but you'd be surprised. We live in a time now where people come to Jesus for the wrong purpose. They come that Jesus might serve them, but they don't want to serve him.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. They come that Jesus might grant them something and give them something, but they never want to give anything to the glory of God. They've come with their own plan. Two brothers had a family problem, and they wanted Jesus to serve them, but not to save them. So they didn't come for salvation. They come that they might he might settle the squabble between the two of them. And man, they didn't want to go by what the law said, but they wanted Jesus to be the arbitrator. And Jesus said, you need to go to the magistrate. That's not what I've come to do. And then he says to his disciples, take heed. Take heed. Beware of covetousness. Beware. I want you to pay attention. It's dangerous. Beware of covetousness. He said, for our lives are not based upon what we have. Amen. But a man's life does not consist on the abundance of things which he possesses. Covetousness. Covetousness is a very subtle sin.
Amen.
Most will say that they're not covetous, but don't really realize it. You see, you don't know how covetous you are until either someone takes something from you or you lose it. I was listening to the reporters as they interviewed some of the people in the recent storms that have came upon our land in Texas as well as in Florida. And while some people are not allowed yet to go back and assess what they have and see what has been damaged, a lot of people are mourning the loss of things that they have. Now, their lives have been spared.
Amen.
But they're mourning the fact that they lost their wedding pictures. They're mourning the loss of different things and things that were sentimental to them, which didn't really have a lot of value, but it was sentimental. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right to have that, but Jesus would tell us that, don't worry about those things, you can get some more stuff.
Amen.
Amen. We worry about stuff.
Yes, amen.
One person, I lost all my clothes. They can get some more. Amen. People are complaining, and now people want to sue someone because an elderly woman died in a nursing home because the air conditioner went out. Hello, come on.
Amen.
The power went out. Was there a time we lived before air conditioning was invented?
Come on, preacher.
Amen. Amen. But, you know, that's what they have lawyers for, to sue. Covetousness. It's greed. That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, in Colossians 3:5, it says it's idolatry. It's God switching. It means that you've made a God of something other than God himself. That's covetousness. This is what it says in Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness, all covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. In the King James, it just says evil, but all kinds of evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Beware, because it can sneak up on you. And even at a time when you think that I don't covet anything, you might covet a whole lot until it's taken from you. Amen. So the problem was that Jesus realized that one of two or either both of the boys had covetousness in mind, greed was in mind, not just a fair split of the inheritance, but that one was covetous. So he warned them about that, and he tells the parable. He said, the ground of a certain rich man. Now listen, understand, the man was already rich. It's not the ground of a poor farmer or of the ground of a well-to-do individual, but the ground of a rich man.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brought forth plentifully. He had a good bumper crop. It surprised him. He had a good crop. Now, understand something. God watered it. Amen. God let the sun shine upon it. But it was his property. He had the deed to the land. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it's the Lord's earth, it's the Lord's sunshine, it's the Lord's rain that brought forth the great crop that he had. And yet and still, he said, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Now you must notice in this parable all of the personal pronouns of I and my. Amen. He said, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Did you get that? He said, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my bonds and will build greater there where I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods and laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sound like an agenda, don't it? Sound like he got a plan. Sound like a pretty good plan. And it's all right to make your plans. Amen. It's all right. We all make plans. We come into this world making plans because we're taught at a very early to have some type of plan. And so our parents make plans for us. Our parents say, you're going to school. Even when we didn't feel like it, even when we hid that uniform in the closet like it wasn't clean, you're going to school. Amen. You're going to school, and then after you go to school, you go to college, and after you go to college, you're going to go to work, and you're going to leave home. Amen. If you didn't make that plan was made for you. That's the way things go, you know. You're going to get out of here. You're not going to live in my basement. Amen. Amen. Then when we make our plan, we're to fall in love, and then we're to get married. That's before children, hello. And then we're to purchase a home. We make plans, we're working, and that's what we work for. That's what we went to school, to purchase a home. And then after we purchase a home, we'll have children. We'll raise our children. Amen, amen. We spend most of our earnings on our children, amen. That's what we do. Amen. Then you allow your children to spend most of your earnings for you. Then you acquire some things in life. That's all part of the plan. And then you plan to retire. You plan to take it easy and to rest up and retire, maybe do some traveling. But your plans have been interrupted because you find out that you got grandchildren now. And all your money that went for your kids and went for your home now go for your grandchildren. Amen. And your agenda had been interrupted, and God didn't do it. Amen. Amen. We make our best made plans, but sometimes they're interrupted. The Bible said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest what the day will bring forth. Amen. Tomorrow is not promised for you. That's why we have to ask if the Lord will. If the Lord say so, let it be done this way or that way, because God has the last say so. So Jesus tells this parable of the rich man who had a plan. He had a made out organized plan. He said, I don't have any room to put all of the fruits of my labor, to put my grain and to put all of the things that I have, so I'm going to tear down what I have, because what I have is not big enough. I'm going down to the building department. I'm going to take a permit, and I'm going to build bigger, greater barns to house everything that I have and all of my wealth. And he said, I'm going to pull those down. I'm going to build bigger, and I'm going to put all of my goods in there. And after I do that, I'm going to talk to my soul and say, soul, take it easy. You done did good now. You got enough to retire on. Just take it easy. Just eat, drink, and be merry, because I got it made now. And that's how we think sometimes after we have accumulated something. Now, notice what he did not say. He did not say, I'm going to give 10% of what I have to God. Come on, come on. You know I'm in the right place now. Amen. Amen. He didn't say that. He didn't say he's going to give offering to the church at all. ain't giving God up nothing. He did not say, I'm going to set up something, a fund for my children so they'll have something when I'm gone. He didn't say, I'm going to set up something for my grandchildren, a college fund. He just said, this is what I'm going to do for me. Very selfish agenda. And you'd be surprised how many people have a selfish agenda. Talking about, I got mine, you get yours. Amen. I got this. Not realizing that everything you have, God has given it to you.
Well, say that now.
So I got a plan, and you can call the architect in. They didn't design these barns, and usually those barns were dug down into the ground real deep, so that vermin and thieves couldn't get to it. You know, and he said, I'm gonna build a greater barn. He got a plan. He got a plan, but his plan did not include God.
Amen.
Did not include his family, did not include anyone. He thought about what he would do for himself. He said, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be merry. I got a plan, I got a plan. It's obvious today that most people have a plan, and we pursue happiness instead of pursuing holiness.
All right.
You see, the world says, strive to live good, and the word of God says, strive to live right.
Amen.
And I have discovered if you strive to live right according to God's word, God will bless you to live good. Problem is, we're always looking at somebody else and how they're living and not thankful of how we're living. And that's when jealousy comes in, when you're no longer thankful for what you have. Trouble with our world is too many people try to go through life with catcher mitts on both hands. You see, you're going through life with catcher mitts. You catch all the ball, but you can't throw the thing back. Amen. In other words, you're trying to get everything God would have you to have, but you don't give nothing to anybody. Don't care about nobody else but yourself. Just catch everything God throw at you, but don't never give back to anyone. Amen. You see, need more and greed more are cousins. And they look just alike. Amen. As a matter of fact, you can't tell one from the other. Need more and greed more didn't come from the same womb, but they look like the same person. A lot of times you're talking about, I need more. It's really greed more. Amen. God has blessed you to have everything you need, but you have greed. Oh, you ain't going to say amen because you know I'm talking to you this morning. And that's all right. Man, people think it's valuable in life if you all you can do is eat and drink and be cheerful or merry. Hence, they believe that these delicacies of the season belong to them. These are the luxuries of the world. I'll take me a cruise. I'll do this. I'll do that. And I'm finding out that a lot of people won't give in the church anniversary, but they can take a cruise in a minute. Amen. People go on vacation in a New York minute. Amen. We got some rich folk up in here. They go anywhere and everywhere. Places I've never even thought about going. Our members can go. Don't let a class reunion or a family reunion show up in another state. They on their way. Now they ain't got no money, to tell you the truth. I'm just telling you. But they got MasterCard and Visa and Discover Card. They don't have that American Express because you got to pay a fee every year for that one. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. And they can go anywhere. United Airlines will take them. They can go anywhere. Amen. And yet and still, they don't have 2 cents they can really rub together. But that's the way we live. We live in a time that people are concerned about living the high life and trying to impress people.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. They want to impress people. Now, let me tell you something. Ain't nothing wrong with traveling. Nothing wrong. If you got the money to do it, go ahead and do it. If you got the money to go places, go. Amen. But don't come back broke. Amen. Go and see the world. See all the sights. Do all the things. That's a wonderful thing. I can't do it. I don't want to do it because I don't have time. I got television. I see everything I need to see. On the Discovery Channel. Amen. That's just me. That's just me. That's how I am. Amen. I discover stuff on the Discovery Channel. Amen. Man, never been to Egypt, but I've seen it on the Discovery Channel. Amen. You see, what this is a part of us that we want to impress people with us. But God is not impressed with us. What we have accumulated does not impress God at all, because He's the one that gave it to us. But what impresses God is what we do with what He has given us. We spend our lives with these catch-mitts trying to catch everything that comes along. And we forget all about our immortal soul. How foolish is it to think that man's life is to satisfy his sensual appetites, and then he forget that he has an intellect to be cultivated? See, I'm living so I can answer every question on Jeopardy. I want to answer all the questions that they come up on Jeopardy. Every category, I want to hit that. And I don't know how these people know all of this stuff, but they always show me how much I don't know. A heart to be purified and a soul to be saved. Those are more important things to covet it after than things, than the wealth of this world. And so God says to this man, but God said, I have to emphasize that, because God always has the last say. So if a man proposes, God disposes. God says, God intervened, and God said unto him, thou fool. God calls him a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who gonna get your stuff when you gone? Brothers and sisters, if you knew who was gonna get your stuff when you gone, you'd probably try to get rid of your stuff right now. Amen. Amen. You'd be surprised. Some folk can't wait till you dead to get your stuff. And they're gonna come in the house lying. They're gonna be crying. And, oh, she told me I could have that diamond ring if she had never happened to her. Just lying her behind her, knowing good and well you ain't never told her that. Amen. Well, he said I could have his car if something ever happened. He ain't said nothing. And you know that mean coat mine. You know, she told me I could always have that mean coat. She ain't said nothing. But people will come. I don't even go to houses now. When people die, I got so tired of them lying and everything and fighting and fussing. When someone dies, I just wait till you'll come to the church and we'll have the funeral here. If you knew who was going to get your stuff, you'd probably try to sell it right now. Amen. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. God interrupted his agenda. Even before he tore down his barns, even after he had harvested all of his fruits, God said, this night thy soul shall be required. You'll be surprised how many of us in here right now think we're going to live forever. And the reason I say that, because we act like it. We're still making plans to live instead of making plans to die. And you'd be surprised how many folk in here don't even have a life insurance policy. Wait for your family to have a GoFundMe fund to pay for your funeral. And the reason now that a lot of people are being cremated is not because this is the way to go. They don't have the money to bury you. People don't carry life insurance no more like they used to. I remember when the insurance man used to come around every week and mama would give him 50 cents. Amen. But he'd come, amen. He'd come every week. Get that 50 cents, amen. People don't carry insurance policies no more because people don't plan to die. They think they're going to live forever, or let my children or everybody, let that burden fall on them. And truth be told, your children ain't got no money. I got in the biggest argument one time because there's a woman who joined this church and she had 12 kids. And that woman died. And the kids came to the church, wanting the church to bury their mother. Now, they weren't little kids. They were all grown kids, grown children. And I preached at the funeral and told them, it's a shame that a woman can take care of 12 kids, but 12 kids can't take care of one dead woman. And the family got mad at me, and The following Sunday, the daughter was trying to get to me. She wanted to do something to me. Amen. That's why y'all shouldn't let everybody come back there to my office. I don't have a gun now. I do have a hammer. I got a hammer back there. I got a few tools. Amen. I've had people walk up on me and I couldn't find a deacon or preacher nowhere. They're the first ones out the church. Amen. I said, look, I got to take a stand or I have to fight this myself. Amen. Can't nobody help me but Jesus this morning. Amen. God has the authority to upset your plans, cancel your plans, interrupt your agenda. That's what he did because the man was not rich toward God. He all he thought about was himself. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you need to understand that if you are saved, then God is in everything, all your business transaction, everything you do. God wants to be glorified. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So seek after holiness instead of happiness. Well, it was said that there was a celebration over the fall of man that Satan had all of his demons. They had been celebrating now for hundreds of years, even 1,000 years. They had celebrated ever since man fell. And then when Jesus came on the scene and he was getting ready to die upon the cross, Satan said, I got to have another plan, because if Jesus died for everyone's sin, he said, people will get saved, and I got to learn, I have to have a plan to keep man down. And so Satan gathered all of his demons and imps together and said, we need to come up with a plan. And he said, I'm going to give a reward to the one who comes up with the best plan. Half of my kingdom will I give to you if you come up with a plan to keep man down. The first demon came up and he said, well, I found out at observation that man is very religious. So he was created to worship. And so we'll invent cults and false religions and false doctrines and false deities. And so man will never really worship the true only God. And Satan said, that's pretty good. The next man came along. He said, yes, man is religion. So let him worship God and tell him that he must work for his salvation. Tell him to knock on doors and tell people that he needs to accept Jehovah as his Savior. Amen. And let him work for his salvation. And man will get tired of that work for his salvation because Jesus wants to give it for him free. Satan said, that's a good one too. And the next imp came up and said, well, I have discovered in my observation of mankind that man is very sensual. He's driven by his sexual urges, amen, and sexual gratification. So I'm going to invent incest and fornication, adultery, homosexuality, voyeurism, bestiality, pornography, and pedophilia. I'm going to fill the world with all of this mess, and man will never serve God because he'll be addicted to all of these things. And Satan said, I like that one. That's good. The next one came on and said, well, I've discovered that man is egotistical. Yeah, he is a deep thinker. Amen. He's philosophical. He believes that he knows everything. So I'll tell a man to be atheist and tell him God doesn't exist. I'll let him believe that there is no such thing as God and that the world just happened. I'll tell him that there's no God. He need not try to worship him. He'll become a social humanist. Amen. I let him believe in evolution. And Satan said, that's all right too. I kind of like all of them. And next one said, well, listen, I've found that man loves a good time. Man, for the most part, is a party animal. He's a socializer. He loves to entertain himself. We'll let him entertain himself to death with drugs, with alcohol, all of these things that will keep him from worshiping the true and only God. Satan said, all of these are good, and I don't know who I'm going to give the award to, for all these are good things. Finally, an old demon came walking along, and he had a little pimp walk when he walked, amen. And he came up to Satan, and he whispered in his ear something, and Satan said, you win the prize right there. You got it. Everybody said, well, what did he say? After all we have done to tell you all about man, what did he say to win the prize? Satan said, the man said, tell man he got time. Now, brothers and sisters, that's the biggest lie Satan could ever tell you, that you got time. It's getting late in the evening and the sun is going down. You don't have time like you think you have. Now is the day of salvation. Don't you understand that Jesus came to die for you? Like he told in the parable, this night, but he tells the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Don't you know this is the day that the Lord has made? We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know if tomorrow's going to come, but on this day I'm going to worship the Lord. On this day I'm going to be grateful and thankful to God. On this day I'm going to give God everything that I have, because I know that he died for me upon Calvary's cross. They nailed his hands, they nailed his feet, put a crown of thorns upon his head. He suffered, bled, and died for me. They took him down from the cross and put him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, just like he said, if you tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Yeah, he can interrupt your agenda. You need to trust him today while it's still called today. Jesus is coming soon. And if he don't come for the church, he could come for you individually. Get your house in order. Get ready. Because he's going to interrupt all of our agendas when he comes breaking through the sky. God bless you. Please stand to your feet. If you want to feel rich.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.